Freeform Renegades. This is the Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast, and remember to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. We are part of 1893 Coalition that is consists of Intellectual Nonsense and the Enthusiast Project. Again, we are Freeform Radio, back for another day. I'm one of your hosts, Noel, and to my left I have...
My name is Daniel.
And we have...
Tandy.
And we're all back together again. Another exciting week happened for us. And we'll go ahead and get started with our updates. Andy, you went to enjoy some beer, I heard.
Yeah, man. I'm surprised you didn't say cheerful, Andy, after the weekend you had.
Right?
No, yeah. It's decided to... one of the things on my bucket list was to see one of these big corporate breweries, because I always heard they have tours. I remember on The Simpsons when Homer and Barney went to the Duff Brewery.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that must be real. So our neighbors to the north, Milwaukee, home of Miller, they have a brewery tour, and I learned some pretty interesting stuff, and I always knew of them, and it was pretty information. It was pretty educational and informative, and at the end you get free samples, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, yeah, man. Let's cut to the chase, man. You get to any beers, you get
they got free samples afterwards.
You got Blitz, man.
Yeah, it was. I saw a lot of beer. A lot of beer is made up there, and
when you think of Miller, you don't really think of a lot of beers. But were they different flavors? Do they offer different at the brewery?
Well, they have Miller Lite, Miller, the High Life. They got
the champagne of beers?
The champagne of bottled beers now. It used to be, we had this discussion. I remember being at the champagne of beers, and up there they kept saying the champagne of bottled beers. They have Ice House. That's theirs, Red Dog. They just recently merged or bought out Coors.
Isn't there Milwaukee's Best or something like that?
Milwaukee's Best. Steel Reserve, there's so many of them I can't even remember. It's just a huge company, a huge conglomerate, but they make a shitload of beer, especially canned beer. They can crank those out. The bottled ones takes a little bit longer, but they're big two up there. I guess they brew Coors Light since the merger or the acquisition, and Miller Light. They said they created the light beer in the 70s. And it's their best-selling beer. And then they're initially known for the Miller. That's what started the first German Miller or something. He brought some special seeds from Germany. And when he came up to Milwaukee, he started brewing it. And it was pretty popular. And then he bought the original. There was a brewery up there called the Plank Road. That's the offshoot, the Ice House and the Red Dog or whatever. That was actual, like, the first real big brewery. He bought them out, and then he started making Miller there, and he just grew from there. And
no, there's a tour. Is it all just, did you just see like conveyors and just the sorting system and the shipping?
Yeah, or they take you through the warehouse.
Or they show you the brewing of it, you know, like the beer bubbling.
There's a tour afterwards, because that tour was like about 40 minutes to an hour. Then they give you samples. Then afterwards, they take you to the actual brewery. And that's like another 20 minutes or something, like 10-minute tour. But by then, a lot of people are tired, and then they give you your samples. So they're like, I have my free beer. I want to get out of here. But it's a huge, it's like not like a building. It's like a block of buildings.
Okay.
And it's the original ones, and they it's huge. It's a huge block of like buildings and beer and everything. I was shocked how huge that thing was. And it's not even the biggest brewery in the world.
So is it like McMaster Car? You know how they own the whole street?
Yeah, it's
and like they own
like
those
that.
5 to 6 buildings that are on that street?
Yeah, they own, what I saw was 5 or 6. They got the store where you walk in, the brewery tour like thing, and then they got the actual like brewery and packing and shipping. Then you work all the way down, and then there's like a beer garden. And then they have, like, their corporate offices are, like, in actually downtown Milwaukee. I mean, it is huge.
So you could actually buy beer there? Like, fresh off of the brewery?
I don't... Not there. No? They ship it all out of there.
Okay.
My interesting fact is when we were in the shipping warehouse, they said 40% of all that stock that I showed you that picture of is all going to Chicago.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's like it was like the size of this block. Like, dude, it was huge, and like 40% of all this beer is going to Chicago, and the rest is going to like the Midwest, like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana, Missouri.
That was kind of cool. Well, you let me know that there's multiple hubs, and they multiple each take brewers. Care of their region. So the one you went to is the Midwest
Pretty much the Midwest, the original one. And he said, I remember him saying Texas, New York, and California. And then with the merger of Coors, the biggest one in the world is in Denver, the Coors Light or Coors. And very logistics. I was talking to them. They used to use a lot of rail, but they switched to trucks with the acquisition. And it is huge, dude. I can't believe the government will even let them merge, because it's a huge operation. It's a lot of beers that's under their umbrella.
Oh, for sure, man.
I mean, they still got Anheuser-Busch, right?
Well, Anheuser-Busch is its own entity. Mm-hmm. They're part of
as competition, and
yeah, like some German company which owned a whole nother section of beers. It's like two major companies, brewing companies or whatever, that own everything, all the beers. And then right now, that's why craft beers are so popular. But even now, they're starting to get bought out by like Anheuser-Busch or Coors, or Miller Coors is the company's called now. And
for personal taste, like, what do you prefer? You prefer like Budweiser or Bud Light or Miller?
I prefer Miller. The Anheuser-Busch brand beers, they taste different. The Miller, I preferred. I guess, I don't know. I think Chicago is more Miller than Budweiser.
Some old style?
Old style. I don't know who owns them, but you don't see too many of those no more.
Get the Miller High Life.
Miller High Life, yeah, is Milwaukee's OG.
Hey, whatever happened to MGD?
Is that still? Yeah, I saw it. They had like this thing we introduced. MGD is what the claim to that was. It's draft beer in a bottle. Like, they changed the process. I actually saw the sign. Like, we give you the draft taste in the bottle instead of, you know, how draft cans taste different. Cans taste aluminum can because they process it different compared to bottle and the keg. So they changed the process for MGD to get it as much as keg beer, or like when you go get it on a draft. That is a process, apparently, that they created.
Yeah, that's why I think most people prefer the keg taste versus the bottle draft, or can. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, that is a process they started. I don't know how much it took off, but their claim to fame is that Miller Lite. They're like, we invented the light beer industry, and they had a lot of commercials for it, and Miller is like, yeah, that's their bread and butter. That's what put them on the map. But Miller Lite, he goes, once Miller Lite took over, we introduced that, their sales went through the roof. Like, they were shocked, I think, how successful it was.
Oh, cool, man. No, it's something that I've always wanted to go on a beer tour. So, yeah, man, you mentioned it's free for the public. You just got to show up.
Look at their website. They got hours. They got a store. Each tour starts about every half hour or so. They show a cool little video. Then they walk you, a lot of walking, they walk you through the plant, and then you end up at the beer garden. And then they show you, there's a cave, which is pretty cool, where they used to store the original barrels of beer. So what they would do is, you're like 60 or 70 feet underground. It's like caves under the original brewery they bought. And they would store all the beer there to keep it cool. And what they would do is, they would get ice from Lake Michigan, they would crack it up, they drag it over there, and they pack it, all the barrels of beer and ice, to keep it cool as much as they can year round. And like, there's, according to the lady, she said that's like the last cave I think the other ones were covered up, or they got, something happened to them, but I posted a picture of it, is like the last known one, and they kind of turned it into like a museum type of thing where you could actually walk in there.
Damn, that's pretty sick.
Now, did it feel considerably cooler in there? Or?
Yeah, it is cooler. It's like a basement type of feel. There's like a lot of rocks, and like, it's damp. And supposedly they packed so much ice that they could feel like the ice move when, you know, get a little warmer. Like, they could feel like crush ice collapsing. Like, Like it would, you could, they talked about that. I guess they had a system how to get the water out. I don't know, but yeah, it was shocked. It was big caves.
Oh, cool, man. Well, speaking of something else educational, you did you watched the Clinton Cash documentary just in time for the
election. Just in time for the election, like I was, like I've been saying, there two selections of presidential nominees is the worst I've ever seen in my adult life. So it just goes into the Clinton, how the Clintons, you know, her biggest, the Clintons' biggest quote that came out of the White House, dead broke. Well, they just, you know, this week they released their tax records. I think they made over $10 million last year, and mostly on speaking engagements, but they have this foundation called the Clinton Global Initiative, CGI. And the documentary goes into length. Basically, it's like a shakedown of, they get people to donate money, other countries, and they get favorable contracts. And when she was Secretary of State, she would bend the rules a little to get them to do certain things, the U.S. government to do certain things after big donations to the foundation. The worst case being the Haiti one. They sell Bill Clinton down there. I think Obama sent him. Like some type of
ambassador.
Not ambassador, but like I look at it like a project manager.
Okay.
And he was going to handle all this. They basically shut off all the people from Haiti, and like all these guys with big corporations came. They gave donations to the Clinton Foundation, and Bill said, you do this and you do that, without any consideration to the people of Haiti or their elected officials or government people. They just basically, they complained like, we got shut out. Like, they went in there, they did all this crap. It's like Chicago-style stuff. Like, we're going to need $1 billion to build all this, and then they build like a quarter of it, and like, well, where'd the money go? We don't know. We got to go.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of that stuff, and you know, I'm not a big fan of the Clintons, and just watch the documentary. The only thing I didn't like about it, it's one guy talking about it. It's this reporter that did, he did a lot of fact-checking. Nothing is, what I could see, it's BS. Otherwise, I think they would sue him, but
the Clintons would have
sued him. They sued him because there's a lot of big allegations, but he has facts and track record showing everything they've done, and he goes, you know, once, okay, maybe it's a one-time deal. Twice, he goes, okay. And then three, four times, like, okay, something's going on. And that's why he started to look into it.
All right, cool, man. Sounds like a good documentary to watch, man. Something else you were watching as well was the Star Trek, the Beyond. New movie, man. It's something that I've been wanting to watch, but I haven't had a chance yet. How was it?
Check it out. It's more action.
Keep it spoiler-free, man, because I want to hear. Actually, I was reading something about some stupid clause or some kind of goofy ending that's gonna trickle to all the Star Trek universe or timelines, or I don't know what the hell. And I've been trying to stay away from it all just because I don't want the ending ruined for me. I want to still try to watch that movie.
It's basically just a lot of it's an action movie. It's all it is. There's no social commentary. There is one, like, I look at it as somebody like everybody knows, but now they just put it on screen about a certain character. And then other than that, Kirk's like, oh, I don't know why I'm a captain, this is boring. I'm Kirk. Like, dude, you're in space getting laid, how more awesome can it be? But he's sad about it. He's depressed, basically. It's like, this is episode. I think the exact word he said is episodic. I'm like, well, are they making fun of like the original Star Trek each episode? And he's like bored. He's just basically bored. And I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, I didn't like that Kirk. Like, dude, you're Kirk, man. You're gangster. You do what you want.
It just shows you, man. Picard was there, he'd be rocking that shit
Picard
out, man.
He had his own issues too, man.
Picard was the shit, man. I don't know about Kirk, but Picard knew what he was doing. Damn right.
Nah, man. Kirk kicked ass. He got the ladies, and he took command, and he broke rules. Get my skin in. What else you want?
I don't know. Kurt looked like he got some guys, too, but, you know.
Nah, that's Picard, man.
It looked like he had, like, a bro love with Spock, man. Like, first two movies, like, every other scene, man, they were, like, right in each other's face. Like, all that was left was them to kiss.
It was up to Shatner. The whole movie would have been about him, but it was in the contract. He had to include Spock, you know. Because, you know, originally in the original series, I read Shatner's book. He said the show was to be based around Spock.
Yeah, yeah,
but Shatner stole the light and the ladies, and that's where that rivalry built up.
Yeah, I saw one of those documentaries you suggested for me, and yeah, they kept saying that how the movie initial plot was that it was going to revolve around Spock. And then when Kirk came in and he did his readings and they did the pilot, they were just like, nah, man, this guy is the guy to work the show around.
I insisted I get all the girls and I do some of my stunts, but not all of them. But I do all the stunts with the ladies.
And then get ready to come fix my hair in between scenes.
Yeah, so that's the thing. But
so how's the movie overall?
I recommend it. It's not... I like it that it went away from like the old school Trek, where there's like always this deep meaning about the human race. It's a good action popcorn movie. There's not all this like social commentary or anything like that. There's little hints of it, but not like in the days. It's just action, Beastie Boys, and some talk about... there's a lot of references to the Enterprise show.
Okay.
So there's a lot of talk about that.
Along with the Quantum Leap guy? What was his name? Scott or...
Yeah, Scott, whatever.
Scott Bakula?
Bakula. Bakula. Yeah. Whatever you want. He's in there. He's not in there. There's a lot of references to that show. Okay. I don't know how many people... That wasn't a real popular show. I did like that show.
I like that a lot.
There's a lot of references to that show in this movie.
Oh, cool, man. Cool.
I heard about Anton Yelchin. He passed away. So did they kind of wrap up his character in a certain way so that, you know, kind of...
Like he died in a shuttle accident or something?
They talk about him. And
because he's in the movie. He's like in part of it, right?
He's in the whole movie, yeah.
Oh, he's in the whole movie?
Okay. This is Chekhov, right?
That's what he Chekhov. Yeah. I just don't know. He did a couple things, but he wasn't like... he was a support character. I just don't know how they're going to reference him in the other movie, but he doesn't... Nothing happens to him in the movie.
Interesting.
So this is the third in this new John Avery's, or what's his name?
Abrams.
J.J. Abrams universe. They even gave it a name, his timeline. I forget what it is now, but...
Calvin. Is it Calvin?
I forget what it is. But in this new timeline, where does this third one fit in your list? What is it? The best Star Trek movie? Because now there's three of them.
Well, Abrams with the... I thought the second one was pretty good with the remake of the Con Watch.
I agree, man. The second one was really good.
The first one was different. The only thing I like about the first one with the... They figured out a way to split the timeline. Like, fuck all that. We're not dealing with that. We're going to make our own shit. We're rebooting our own line. This is... So they bring in the time travel people, whatever, and they're like, we're doing all this other shit. And that, which was different, okay, but I get it. They had to do it. Overall.
So of the three, this is the least.
It's action heavy, dude. That's all I can say. It's a good action movie.
Oh, cool, man. Well, Noel, man, you just saw the ending of another series, but it was that TV series that you were talking about a couple of podcasts ago, Outcast.
Yeah, it ended on Friday. It's 10 episodes long. Not a long season, you know. It's pretty short.
And this is their first season again, or?
Yeah, it's their first season. Pretty decent show, man. I'd probably give it like an 8 out of 10 overall.
Oh, wow.
And the finale was really tense and thrilling. It was pretty good. There's a lot of unanswered questions, but...
Okay, so there's a cliffhanger at the end?
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, that's kind of how these shows go. It's the same, I believe it's the same comics as Walking Dead. Like it's based on a comic book, so it's all kind of not tied in together, but it's the same kind of feel. So you have a lot of unanswered questions, and you want to know like what's gonna happen. I'm really excited for season two.
Oh, cool, man. So it is left in a cliffhanger, so it leads me to believe there's going to be a season two, or right now, have they announced anything?
There better be. I mean, it's been doing really well. Critics have given it really high reviews. It's not like the top of all time, but it's probably one of the greater horror shows in the last like 5-10 years, aside from like Walking Dead.
Ah, cool. Have you tuned into any of it, Andy?
No, I don't even know what channel it's on.
Yeah, what network is it on?
That's Cinemax, but I mean you can find ways to get
Cinemax.
It
I forgot. Yeah, we talked about that last time. You know, show dudes all, you know, banging and shit. Doing
is that like like a fantasy type of thing? Is that the one we're talking about? Is that action?
This is kind of not really action. It's kind of like a more like thriller, horror suspense. And so pretty much this guy, he has like this power, and they don't know where it came from, but as a kid he's had this ability to, I guess, exorcise demons from people by touching them or by having their blood or his blood in them. Like if he cut his hand open.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a supernatural type of thing. No, I remember. Yeah, it's okay. And it, 'cause something happened with his mom or, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
His mom was possessed when he was a kid, and that's when he found out he had this kind of gift, because he fought back. Like, she was really abused. She was really nice to him in the beginning. He never knew his father, so it was just a single mom and treated him really nice and everything, took care of him. And then one day she just snapped, and it's because she was possessed. And he got trapped in his closet many times. You know, she would be abusive. One day he fought back, and when he did, his forcefulness on her exorcised the demon in a way that, well,
she got killed or something, right?
She went comatose. Yeah. So they kind of start giving like more answers to questions, like, you know, why do some people get saved and some don't? Because he exorcises a good amount of people in this first season, and in that first episode is intense, man. So it kind of slows down a bit midway, though. So I do got to warn you about that. This is kind of a show that's slow paced. It's like a slow burn. So it's something you got to enjoy. But it's, to me, it was pretty intense. Like, I liked it, man.
Oh, cool. Funny thing is, while you were talking about it, you said exercise, and I just pictured that lady just doing like push-ups and like doing like sit-ups and stuff. And I'm like, that guy's exercising her.
No, it's pretty crazy, dude. The man, like, he starts beating the shit out of some people, and there's this little kid, right? He's like, he's possessed or whatever, and he starts doing like some crazy shit, like out of the exorcism. Like fucking levitating, fucking throwing up, and like just start fucking swearing and shit like that.
Do they do it like in Boondocks? He busts out a book and he's like, read. Gives him a job application.
That's a different type of exorcism.
Oh, that's a different one. All right.
Well, the Reverend, too, he's a character, man. Reverend Anderson, he's got like this Southern Baptist like style to him. He's a cool guy, but he'll get riled up, and he's really like preacher heavy. Like, he really believes in all that. So it's kind of crazy when Kyle Barnes, which is the main character, he starts exorcising people. The priest has this like kind of a doubt in his faith, because he's wondering, he's like, well, why isn't my shit working? Like, the Bible should work, but it's not. And this guy just fucking touching him is working. Like, something in his DNA is causing these demons, or whatever they are, entities, we could just call them, to be eliminated from the body. And they like throw up like black, like goo, and it goes to the ceiling, kind of like Conjuring type shit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's sick as hell, man. You guys should definitely check it out. Now that the season's over, maybe you can find like a compilation or a collection of it and check it out.
No, for sure, man. We're gonna have to tune into it. I'm kind of looking for like a sci-fi thing. I know the, what is it, that horror show?
Horror Story.
Horror Story. Yeah. I didn't really get into that.
Not good.
And then Supernatural.
It's good. It's just, you got to pick the right season.
Everybody, all the ladies in my life love that damn show.
Yeah.
I don't get it at all.
Everybody loves it, man. And I tried, man. I watched two episodes of both the first and the second season, and I was just like, oh, man, I don't know. I'm not really feeling it.
The first season, I wasn't feeling it, and I stopped watching it. But if you watch the third, I think, and fourth season, though, those are really good, man.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a crappy show. I just, it didn't hook me, so I didn't keep watching it. And I know Supernaturals, it's kind of, to me, losing its luster, so I am looking for something sci-fi.
It's been like 10 years, right?
Yeah, man, that shit's been going on for, yeah, like 10, 12 years, man. That shit's forever.
No, I thought they ended it at 10. Is it a past season 10?
It's going to be. Like, this is going to be, I think, 11 and 12 coming up. Or possibly
I don't even
more.
Know that show is still on.
It's like, how many times can you fight the devil, man? Jesus, man.
It's kind of insane, because you finally, well, spoiler alert, you finally meet God.
Oh, man.
And it's just some random
freaking guy. Is it Alanis Morissette, man? No.
It's just some random guy named Chuck.
You don't know where the Alanis Morissette's from? That's from Dogma. In Dogma and Kevin Smith movie, that's who God is. It's Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, it's when Chuck, the door, character, right? Chuck?
And she comes out.
I can't remember how the scene is developed, but at the end of the movie, Kevin Smith shows got to be Alanis Morissette.
Well, I remember it was a woman, and then like she blows up like the angel's body or something, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait, the devil in Supernatural is the character Chuck from like the Chuck Show, or like his name is just Chuck?
No, the god is Chuck, and he's just some writer, like some guy, like skinny, you know, hipster looking guy.
Man, God's a hippie.
Well, no, see, that's the body, that's the vessel. God is still God, but like he's in this body, and the guys, the Winchesters, they knew him already. Like, he wrote the novels of the Winchesters. So, like, let's say, you know, season 5 or whatever, there's all this history already made for the supernatural guys. This guy Chuck, he writes these books and these novels, and they become like a hit. Like, everyone loves them. And then they do like little spoof episodes where, like, they're acting it out now and all this, and then it's crazy. Like, the show, it's become kind of comedic now. It's not really about the scares anymore.
Yeah.
It's a spoof onto itself. They're just making fun of themselves now.
Pretty much. I mean, the whole last season was just kind of funny because God has a sister, and that's what was, like, sealed into the Mark of Cain.
Mm-hmm.
So then Dean got the Mark of Cain, and then something happened where they wanted to get, like, let the Mark of Cain off of him, otherwise he'd be corrupt forever, and so they did. But when they did that, they unleashed her back in the world, and she's like the darkness, whereas God's the light. But there has to be both or something like that. Now they're made up, and that's how the season ended. They made up, but she killed God in the beginning. It was kind of weird, man. But it's crazy. It's funny.
Oh, man, no. Too much, man. You got to end it, man. End it.
Yeah.
Too much. The other thing, you're going back to work, man.
Yeah, my work search has ended, dude. I finally got something, and yeah, we'll see how it goes, dude. It's, man, I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, it's kind of like this might suck waking up this early.
Well, what time does it start?
It's like around 8:30.
Oh, man, Jesus Christ, 8 o'clock? Like, and that's that, early?
That to me, dude. I wake up at like, well, it's definitely my 8 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Jesus. Oh, it's earlier.
Man, I'm up since like 5:30 in the morning, man, ready to get it going.
It's different for you guys, man.
Wake up with the heart on, I'm ready to fuck the
fuck shit up.
Am I the only one, man?
What's wrong with you, Danny?
But yeah, 8 o'clock. It's not early, not super early, but I guess it's early compared to the hours that you wake up.
So you got a 9-to-5 job then?
Pretty much, yeah.
What else can you ask for, man?
No, hey, it's good, man. Like, the money I'm going to be making, it's very
You wake up
reasonable.
Early, you can still go to the gym. You can eat breakfast, go to work. You get an hour lunch, then you go home at 5 and do whatever you want.
Now, this is something new to me is the hour lunch. I've never had an hour lunch before. It's always awesome. Been a rush, like 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it, but at the same time, like, what the fuck am I going to do
for
an hour?
I remember when they gave me an hour lunch, and I was like, man, this is weird because it took, you're always like, I only got, you know, 15, 20 minutes to a half hour, and then you're like, I still got another half hour. It's like, it's weird.
Yeah,
I think the sweet zone would be like 40 minutes, because to be honest, an hour is excessive, but at least it gives you that tranquility that you don't have to rush. So while you see those other people at, you know, Chipotle or whatever, and they're rushing through their food so they can get the hell out of there in half an hour, you're just chill and lax. You're eating your bowl, you're checking some emails, reading something, you know, just conversing. And it's more of chill because you got a whole hour to, you know, to do what you got to do. So in that part, it is good. But yeah, to be honest, an hour is kind of a little bit long. You know, yeah, I got an hour lunch as well.
Depending like what's around your area, there's a lot of errands you could do during lunch. Go to the store, return something, mail stuff out. Go to the bank if you need to, because a lot of stuff gets done between 12 and 1. Like, you see other people like you that have the hour lunch and they're doing like all this other crap except eating lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be weird. I'm going to have to get used to it. You know, it's going to be a lot of changes. But, I mean, I've worked before. I've worked many jobs. So, it's, you know, it's something I'm prepared for already. But we'll see how it goes. It's going to be something new, too. Like I said, I wanted to do something like administration work. So, it's kind of administration. But I still have to get the training going to see exactly what I'm going to be doing. But I think they got me again, man. Just like I thought I was out, they fucking pulled me back in, man, with the sales.
So yeah, makes the world go around, man.
Yeah, you kind of hinted inside sales or something, you said?
Well, they didn't specifically say it was going to be sales. When they pitched the job to me, they said it was going to be administration work similar to like data entry. And so I was excited for that and the opportunities. You know, this is a Japanese company, so they made their headquarters in Elk Grove Village. And like for them to do that, to choose like Illinois in that specific location. This is like a, you know, billion-dollar company. It meant a lot to me. I was like, that's, they have faith, you know, that they can have success here. So I'm like, that would be pretty cool to be part of this company. And the people there that I met with, they're Japanese, and I like the culture, I like the language and all that. And, you know, I love anime. So, I mean, not that that has anything to do with it, but it's just something that it connects, you know. So I'm looking forward to hopefully learning some Japanese and giving this job a shot. But, man, yeah, they didn't go into detail about the sales part. I'm hoping it's not going to be crazy. I don't think so. The way they made it seem was like, I'm going to be fucking just like entering stuff in and then maybe taking some calls in case they have questions on what I entered in or whatever. And we'll see.
No, cool, man. So what do they do there? What's their main business? Are they manufacturing things? Are they redistributing items?
They're a manufacturing company that caters to manufacturing companies. So it's kind of like when you went to the brewery, you went to the tour, well, they have, like, I bet, automated machines, you know, lining stuff up, you know, putting bottle caps on, etc. Those machines and stuff, they have parts, and they have, like, housing units and rails and just a bunch of different, like, things made out of steel, pretty much. And sometimes that could be pretty costly to buy in steel, so there's other cost-effective ways to do it, and that's using, like, aluminum and other type of metals, so... this company manufactures mainly aluminum, and they make parts for places like that, like breweries or other places that use automation.
Yeah, I know aluminum is something that our sort system part of our company uses a lot. They use aluminum for a lot because it's really malleable. It's really easy to work with. Not easy to weld, but at least for us, because we don't have the equipment for welding it, but it's really lightweight, so you can put it up high in sort systems. We use it mostly for sorting garments, since we work in the laundry division. But yeah, aluminum, we use tons of that for our sorting system. So is that the kind of things you're talking about?
Yeah, aluminum, like they'll make parts for like your system or whatever. Like it depends on your needs. You know, I'm sure that they send them schematics like, hey, we need this and this. And then they have like a warehouse or an actual plant that makes it for them. The place that I went to, it seemed mainly like an office with some like shipping warehouse in the back, but I still have to take the tour and all that. And
all right.
I'm just going to start my orientation soon.
Oh, cool, man. Well, congrats, man.
Thank you, dude.
Congrats.
Yeah, man. Time to get to work and get like the rest of the world here, man. Make some money.
Yeah. I mean, got to get back to it again. I took a little break for a while, but now it's time to get back into it.
Oh, cool, man. Well, for us, man, we've been just kind of chilling. Went to the Kidz Bop concert, got a couple tickets from my buddy Harry from work, and went to the concert. It was a good time, man. I have gone to concerts before, but mostly for stuff that I'm interested in, you know, some hip hop, some rock concerts and stuff like that. This is the first concert that I went that's kind of pop-ish or kind of kids-like. But, you know, I got to admit, man, it was cool. It was a real cool atmosphere. Everybody was jumping up, seemed happy, seemed joyful. And it looked like Junior really enjoyed it. And actually, Lana did as well. She enjoyed it quite a bit. That so much so that she wants to stay in tune to the next time they're in town so we can go check it out, because she seemed really excited. And she liked having, because what Kidz Bop is that they play mostly mainstream music, but with kids sing it. And then any kind of swear words there might be, or any kind of maybe message that might be a little controversial, they remix it and they put a kid's spin on it. I forget what the name of the song is, but that Bruno Mars song where there's a lyric, something like pour some liquor in it or something like that. There's a lyric like that. Well, they mix it and then they say something like pour some water in it, you know, and stuff like that. So where there would be some kind of, you know, a little non-PC verse, they would flip it around and kind of make it kids like.
Like put some grape juice in it.
Yeah. Put some apple juice. Yeah. So, man, we went to go check it out and it was cool, man. It was packed. I was really surprised how many kids and parents, and it was in downtown, so it was a little pricey. But man, it was a good time, man. It was a good time. The weather was great. It was actually an outdoor concert. So the stage and everything was outdoors.
What was the venue?
First Merit Bank. It was just south of the planetarium and the Field Museum. Like right where they launched the boats, where you dock in your boats there on the side there. And just a little bit north, northeast of Soldier Field. So where we were sitting, you can look off, and in the distance, like a couple miles away, you can see Soldier Field, and you can see that space shuttle that landed on top of it. It's right there. And actually, where we parked at the Soldier Field parking, and we walked from Soldier Field to the concert.
Oh, okay.
But man, it was a really good time. I even enjoyed myself. You know, got to hang out, bought some, you know, popcorn, some $10 popcorn, and some $7, you know, Pepsi, you know, 16-ounce drinks, and it's just like, good Jesus value. Christ, man. Beers were $10. I was gonna drink a beer, but like, I'm not that thirsty for $10. I'll just leave it right there on the shelf. But man, other than that, man, it was a really good time. I really enjoyed it. Thanks to my buddy Harry for hooking up some tickets, and we met up with him after the concert. But it was a really good time, man. I actually enjoyed the music as well. There was a couple songs that I recognized, but a whole lot of them that I didn't, just because I really don't stay in tune with the B96 or the 103.5, you know, whatever's, you know, hot on the radio right now.
You don't know what's popping on those streets.
Nah, not really.
Now, how does this work? So is it like a choir, like a group of kids that sing, or is it like, and are they good?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, they're good. I mean, it's four kids. They make up the group, and they have 32 albums released already. They release, you know, like these greatest hits albums, and then it's just a bunch of cover music. So they got, you know, 12 songs, and 10 of them are covers, and maybe 2 are original songs that they made. But other than that, they're just remixing songs. So like that Whip Nae Nae, they have their own rendition. And
Jenner likes that one, right?
Yeah. Or Blurred Lines, they have their own rendition of it. Or whatever, you know, whatever's like
they a... Like Clear Lines?
whatever's clear a hot... Clear Lines... Whatever's a hot song out on the streets, they remix it.
Wait, did they have blur lines?
I don't know, man. I'm just saying it as an example. That's the only thing that popped in my head. But stuff like the Rihanna songs, all those Rihannas, the Work, Work, Work song, they have their own remix of that. And for the most part, they do stick with the lyrics unless there's something that's kind of, you know, controversial. If they start saying, yeah, grind that shit up on me, they'll probably remix it and make it sound different, you know.
All right, like loonies.
Like, hey, stay, you know, instead of grind up on me, stay a little distance from me. Don't get so close.
They don't got no Jodeci or something up in there.
No, I don't think they go that far back.
I would like to hear that rendition. How can you water down Jodeci?
Yeah. That would be a task on itself, Andy. I don't know if any kids can do that.
Every freaking day. Like, no, every day. We do our homework.
But it was cool, man. It was a really good time. I enjoyed it a lot. Staying in tune with Kidz Bop so we can go to their next concert. So,
but is there people on stage? Or is it just like children up there? And
they make their own music videos and everything. So there's music videos to this shit.
There's like a host, right?
And yeah, there's like a hype man MC. He comes out and hypes up the crowd in between sets because they had like 4 or 5 different sets where they would go backstage and then change outfits and then come back out. They address a lot of the crowd. It's like a typical concert, you know. So the four characters, there's two males, 2 females, and then they just, you know, talk to the concert. They actually took a phone call from the concert, like somebody handed their cell phone, and they're like, yeah, we're going to sing somebody a song. Call up the people you love, and we'll sing them a song. And so they picked somebody, put up the phone by the microphone stand so you could hear what they were saying, and they sang like some love ballad to the person on the other end of the phone. But it was really cool, man. They have like a Titantron where they're showing like the music video that they're singing to, or just some graphics and light shows.
Can you,
and
like,
shit.
Make requests then?
Nah, I didn't hear them ask for
hair band stuff.
I didn't hear them ask us for any kind of you know, hey, what do you want to hear now kind of shit.
They're like, but, damn Yankees, take me high enough.
They had some like neon shit, like the rave where they have like a light show and shit.
The Blade song playing in the background?
Not the Blade song, but they had something close enough. And they're going around with glow sticks and shit like that. But since the concert wasn't the day, we really didn't get to see that effect. But it was cool, man. It was a really good time. Great time by the lake. The weather was great. You know, a little too sunny where, man, you were standing out that sun and you felt that heat. But other than that, man, it was a great time. The other thing that we got to be very thankful for is we went through a little ordeal with my wife's meds and her insurance. My wife takes some like premium medicine that they don't offer no generic shit yet. You know, nobody's cracked the code or whatever. So it's only like the name brand, and it's a little bit on the expensive side, but it is what it is. So the insurance, or at least my insurance, the thing that they offer is a buy two months, you get one free. So for every 2 months that you purchase, you get the third free. Mm-hmm. So the last time my wife's been getting her medicine, she's been getting it every month. Like every month she's been refilling. And I'm like, hey, you really got to get your doctor to give us a 3 month script so we can, you know, take advantage of this promotion that my insurance offers where you buy 2 months and you get one free. And I think it's pretty typical with everybody's medicine or you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield, whatever insurance company you're using. But yeah, we went to the doctor. We had an appointment about a month ago. We told him, hey, we really need the 3 months. You know, the medicine is expensive as it is. We're trying to get whatever kind of, you know, discount or offers that are available to help us out. So anyways, the doc says, cool. We ship it to, or we sent the script over to the, we use a mail order pharmacy script filler. They're like, yeah, we're processing. It takes like a week, man. And they finally get back to us and they're like, yeah. And this is after multiple calls back and forth between my wife and the pharmacy reps. They're like, yeah, your insurance is denying it. They're saying that they don't offer 3 month scripts on the one that you're looking for. So we're like, oh shit, man, we're screwed, man. I'm like, oh well, I guess it was something that we were trying to save a little money on, but I guess we can't. So we end up looking online and find this promotion that the manufacturer of the meds they're offering. You just got to send it in, you call them, fill out this form. We do all that stuff, and then they come back and say that they're going to subsidize some of the cost of the meds to the point where it's either a zero deductible or pretty close to a zero deductible. So, man, me and Alana, man, we were just, you know, we were so happy. We're like, holy shit, man. I'm like, man, this thing has become a lot more affordable again where it's not, you know, a big burden on us for this large sum of money every month to pick up the meds. So it was just something I just wanted to make mention, man. It's like we're really grateful for all the things that we get. And I know not everybody here is a God-fearing man, but you know, I'm very thankful for God for helping us out and giving us that blessing, for sure.
I think a big majority of Americans, especially in the United States, know the cost of maintenance medicine, especially new medicine. You know, you go to Walgreens and they got that $4 medicine or zero, but that's all like generic stuff. When they come out with new medicine, that which they own the rights to for a couple of years, man, that stuff is expensive. And a lot of insurances won't cover it, or they'll cover very little, and you still got to come up with a for the rest. And there's a lot of things you could do, and but it is a hassle. It is hard to look for all those benefits or hardships, waivers and all this stuff. I had to do some of this with my sister, and it's very tiresome, and it's very stressful because you need the medicine, and you're over here trying to figure out where to get the money and scraping up, asking people for favors, and until you get something like this where the manufacturer or the doctor could offer some relief with, like, coupons. Like, yeah, there's coupons for medicine, people, yeah, and all this goofy shit. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that because nobody wants to deal with it, but I think a lot of people know about that, and it's very tiresome and it aggravating, but you know, when you need medicine, you'll do just about anything to make it affordable or whatever you need to do.
Well, I mean, if this election doesn't go well, man, you could always go to Canada. They got free healthcare there.
Yeah, man. and go up to our North Canadian brothers and get some free meds.
Real quick, that's one part of it with the healthcare. It's free, but the medicine. Another thing here is the medicine is like another cost people don't think about. And a lot of insurances, they do cover it, but when they don't, oh man, it's like it's a big burden on people, and that's how people get bankrupt because they gotta pay for all it. They don't know like the insurance. Well, you have insurance. Well, yeah, they cover to a point, and then they're not gonna cover anything. And sometimes even insurances, I think they get to a point where like, you know what, we're not paying for this no more. You're screwed, and then you got to come up with more cost. Because I don't know how much of all the medicine in Canada is free. I don't know how if they actually have to pay for anything.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know enough about it, but yeah, meds, man, they're expensive for sure, man. I know this one in particular for Alana. Even with my insurance, the cost of it is quite expensive, and the wholesale cost of it, if you didn't have insurance, is. It's ridiculous, man. I don't know how anybody without insurance would be able to pay for this med.
You'd die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. When the zombie apocalypse comes and you're stuck, man, and you need your meds, I think those are the first people that are going to die, man. I have diabetes, so for sure, man, where am I going to get my meds to regulate my shit, man?
You all saw World War Z, right?
Was that the one with Brad Pitt? Yeah.
They were just jumping right over the cancer and sick people. Like, man, we don't want this. We want fresh meat.
Yeah, maybe.
You've seen that movie, right? I don't remember that.
You haven't seen that one?
I've seen it, but I don't remember that like, part. There's swarms.
Spoilers at the end.
The movie's like 10 years old, dude.
And at the end, they find out that the zombies are like killing cancer. Everybody minus people who have cancer.
Let me ask a question, just a general one. When is it not a spoiler? Like, when is it like, all right, enough time
Danny's
has passed.
Danny's obsessed with spoilers.
Well, dude, because people get pissed off, man. I, myself, I'm kind of lax, but at the same time, I am serious, especially if it's something if like within the last year.
Like Casablanca, right? Like, that's an old movie. I've never seen it, right? It's but if you guys told movie. Me about it, I would have been like, oh my God, spoiler alert, because it's like 50 years old.
I think anytime you talk about plot points and you're going to talk in depth about anything entertainment related, there's a possibility of spoiling it for somebody else who's been wanting to watch it. So I don't know, I just got used to anytime, even in you know, not even just talking about this podcast, but just in general, anytime I'm gonna talk about anything entertainment wise I just tell them, you want me to give you plot points or are we just talking vagueness here? And then depending on what the person says
to me, you're considerate, man.
The movie's over 2 years old, you're probably not gonna watch it unless I tell you about it. And I think anything goes.
I'm more strict, man. I give 2 weeks. I told my friends because they yelled at me. They're like, spoiler, man. I'm like, fuck that shit, dude. You got 2 weeks. Like, this is like what I was talking about was a show that we're all into, right? And it was like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks old already. And I'm like, you guys are into this. Like, if you're not watching it, well, that's on you, man.
Like, shows are different. I'm with you on that one. Shows is a little bit different. Movie, okay. Like, movies, you can watch. But a show, there's a lot of people now binge watch, but there's some shows I'll watch weekly, like Walking Dead. Like, okay, I don't want to know. At least give me like a month on that one.
I give a couple weeks. I told them because they yelled at me. I'm like, you know what? 2 weeks then. This is the agreement we have. 2 weeks, I won't say anything. But after that, you know, it's all free.
Oh, so you make up your own rules, Andy, man. There's certain rules for movies.
Send us
and
the rules. Email us the rules, people. But I think when it comes to shows, it's different to movies.
Well, something else that's in the books here is an article that we wanted to talk about. The Donkey Kong crown has been reclaimed by somebody who just won it, and it's been going back and forth between a group of guys. But this former champ who had the world record before, he has reclaimed it. Wes Cooperland, he has gotten what
Copeland.
Is Copeland. he's gotten what is believed to be the unbeatable score, the most points that you can get in Donkey Kong. 1,218,000 points, and it's believed that there is no more room to get anything higher. So he might go down as the world record forever. But the reason that this caught my eye is back in like 2007, man, there was a great movie documentary that came out, The King of Kongs, which showed the battle between Steve Wiebe and Billy Mitchell, which to me, if you're interested in gaming, if you're interested in just you know, just a kind of goofy documentary. Yeah, man, this is a great documentary for you, man. It is very entertaining. It's the larger than life character of Billy Mitchell, and then the hometown kid of Weeby. And it's just great, man. It's a great documentary. You guys got to check it out. It came out in 2007.
If anyone can beat that score, I think the great Billy Mitchell can, because with his hair and his love of the country. Of
America, yeah.
America, he could do it. He got a perfect in a
Miss Pac-Man.
Miss Pac-Man.
Does he wear those like America pants? Like
he,
the guy.
He has
from...
America ties, man.
Yeah, he wears then, America ties.
And every time he puts the high score in the old school, he puts USA. He goes, "Why you? Why do you put USA? Because USA is the greatest country in the world. It's always number one." It's like you can't make this guy up, and he's cocky. He's arrogant.
He's got a mullet.
He got a mullet. He got perfect hair.
That's that multitude.
He has great hot sauce and wing sauce. And,
yeah, he's the owner of
his wife ain't too shabby either, so he's doing something right.
Damn, confidence. That'll get you that.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny documentary, but to me, it's a very good, well-put documentary on Steve Wiebe's battle to, you know, overtake Billy Mitchell's record.
It's just grown men fighting about this shit, which is... it's. Just makes it awesome, and they have their little like cliques and entourages, and you know, there's people, there's characters. You got the two main characters and the support characters, and you got the guy of Twin Galaxies, and it's just weird, man. And like, you can't make this shit up.
It's and, like the modern day wizard.
Yeah, dude, it is just, and it's a documentary. Like this, when I first saw it, I can't believe this is like real people, real grown men. One's like a business, one's a educator. They're fighting about like trivial shit, how scores and like how to submit scores. And it's an amazing documentary. It still holds up. I remember seeing it like a year ago again for the first time in a long time, and it's pretty amazing, man. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I remember the Hoopla when the previews are doing all the talk show stuff, and it's just great. Everybody needs to check it out. It's like one of those must watch. I really highly recommend this movie, because it's just, you can't make this shit up, man. When I heard they were gonna make try to make like a live action movie, I heard the characters they were gonna have
like a dramatized.
Yeah. And I always wondered, like, are they gonna make fun of it, or are they gonna try to make it like serious? Like, what was gonna be the take on the movie? They were gonna have the guy who was gonna play Weeby was Steve. What was his name? I don't know. The guy from, he used to be on E. He used to be the original host of Talk Soup. Remember that?
Okay.
He did like a bunch of movies. He got like Oscar nominated for a movie. I can't think of his name. He was supposed to be in.
Isn't it Joel something?
No, that's the guy after him.
Oh, that was the guy after him. Okay.
And then they were still working on who was going to be Billy Mitchell, and they're throwing up like all these names. I remember, and I was like, "Man, this is going to be a great movie," and it never happened.
Was it the guy with that white patch in his hair?
No, not that guy. That guy, man, I can't think of his name. I know he was in a movie with Jack Nicholson. He played like a gay guy, As Good as It Gets, or something, and he got beat up, and that's what got him an Oscar nomination.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Kinnaman or something like that?
Yes, something like that. Yeah. And then, but I was hoping they would make that movie, but they never did. But see the documentary, it's great.
Yeah, man, it's a cool documentary. Check it out, man. I highly recommend it. It's a good one. But kind of speaking to a little bit to what we were talking about before, spoilers, man. There's a web-based, it's called The Spoiler Dead Fans for The Walking Dead TV show. They received a cease and desist letter from the Walking Dead producers AMC concerning season 7 reveals and showing predictions as to who was going to die. I'm not sure if everybody's in tune, and spoilers for everybody out there, but at the very end of season 6, you're left with the cliffhanger of who is going to die. There's like 7 characters, 7 main characters or so, I forget how many they are, of Rick's crew and his gang. And one of them is going to die. So that's where season 6 ends. And season 7 is going to start off showing where one of the characters is going to get beaten to death by a bat. And I guess, you know, AMC is trying to hold that secret really tight, trying to make sure nobody leaks it. And this group, the Spoiler Dead Fans, they've been known to have a track record of being very accurate with their predictions. So they received a cease and desist for AMC. So basically, what I wanted to kind of bring this up about is how strongly, and I know we kind of spoke about it briefly, but how strongly do you feel with spoilers, and is it right for AMC to butt in and start sending cease and desist to companies like this or people like this?
That's imposing on their freedom of speech, because they're not getting information from the show. They're using, well, they're getting information from the show, but they're not getting information from people that are producing the show. So it's not like somebody released
like
information.
Like an inside source.
Right. It's not inside, like, using inside information to put it out there. They're just making predictions using what they see in the episodes, what's free game, to kind of make your own predictions. Like, bloggers do it all the time. Bloggers write about reviews and predictions and stuff like that. So I don't see how you can impose somebody's freedom of speech and say, or impose on and say that you can't talk about it. It doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. I think this is going a little far. When are they going to send us cease and desist if we start saying, you know, like, oh, I think Rick's going to die, and, you know, these are the reasonings that I think Rick is going to die. And then are we going to receive a cease and desist letter telling us, hey, stop talking about The Walking Dead season 7, you know, premiere. We don't want you to talk about, you know, who's going to possibly die kind of shit. So, yeah, I think it's a little too far. I do agree with spoilers. I don't like hearing spoilers. So for me, even though this website's been, you know, there since day one for Walking Dead, I have never tuned into it just because I don't want to know what's going to happen. And I know not everybody's like that. Some people do want to know what's coming up. Some people like reading. I know my brother Efren, he started reading a script that was leaked for Rogue One, the new movie coming out. And he read it and he was telling me, like, yeah, do you want to know what's going to happen? And I'm like, no, dude, I don't want to know what's going to happen. Like, when I watch it on the movie, I want to see what's going to happen. I want to be surprised. I don't want to read about it and then...
He just wants to tell somebody. It. He's excited, I bet. That's
no,
right.
Yeah. But there are people like that. And this website, you know, kind of caters to those people. People that want to know every little thing about the favorite thing that they're into. And so to get a cease and desist, I don't really agree with it.
No, I mean, the problem is they can't... I believe they're getting information from someone, or I think they're accurate because they're getting some type of information from someone. But remember the whole Glenn thing with him and how people were analyzing every little thing, and people were like, well, he's dead, he's not dead, and it just took a life unto its own. And I think they're trying to prevent that because there was one group, I think, that kind of called it and said what happened. And which it didn't make sense. Some people thought it was dumb, but that's
yeah,
exactly
I called it.
I mean.
Remembering,
yeah, well,
I did as well. I kind of knew
he hit under the garbage. Come on, man.
Yeah, I called it, man.
When the body that was bleeding, everything, I knew it wasn't his. I knew it was the other guy's body, and I knew the other guy was getting eaten. And the reason you saw his face was like because it's a traumatic event. Like he's almost gonna die, and the other guy is already dead. He killed himself, and he's getting eaten in front of him.
Well, you know, that took a life unto its own. So. They want to avoid that because I think that kind of showed them like, oh man, this shit's like, it's a little crazy. So for this this last season finale, we all saw what happened with Negan, and they shot like a scene of him messing up everyone. Now they could go any way they wanted to go, and that's why everybody's like, well, who is he beating up? Because you hear that the bat hitting somebody. So. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I actually didn't see the finale, but I didn't do it because I knew they were going to leave it on a cliffhanger, and that pisses me off. So I'm like, I'm going to wait until season 7. I'm going to watch both episodes.
Well, you'll see. That's the big debate right now. People are trying to figure out who's what. You see all this stuff about it. And, I mean, we've talked about it at work. And
Who do you think is going to die?
Well, if it goes by the comic books have Glenn.
That's
Glenn. Glenn's the guy that's going to get killed in the comic books. So if they keep it in tune with the comics, I think Glenn's going to be the guy to go. But to be honest, I kind of see a soft reboot coming. So I could even see Rick being killed, but Andy doesn't think that they
Rick's
could ever
the whole
get
show,
killed.
Man.
Yeah.
He's the whole show. I think they're going to kill the mullet guy.
Well, probably the mullet guy, the little genius guy. Because
it's like he's a total, there. Yeah. He had a purpose. Now he's just like, I'm tough and... Like, you're an idiot, dude, so I got to prove myself. And I think, well, there you go, prove yourself, go die.
Well, a lot of people think it's him, too, just because his biggest contribution to the group was that he found the bullet factory. And in the comic books, that's how it is too. They, I guess he finds the Bullet Factory, yeah. and that's his big, like, you know, this is my spot to shine. And after that, he really doesn't do anything. So a lot of people do think, well, he did bring his, you know, big contribution to the group, and he's really not going to do anything else except be in the background. So, you know, kill him off. But I don't know. I think if they kill off Rick, it gives them the opportunity to kind of give a soft reboot. There's been a lot of talks about the character Daryl going off and doing other things because he's been busy with movies. He's been busy with other role, you know, like TV shows. So, you know, it's a possibility that he's getting too expensive for AMC and he wants to do other projects. So if you get rid of Daryl and Rick, you could kind of give a soft reboot to the whole group and then, you know, bring in new faces and then kind of, you know, spin it off into a different direction.
I think if they kill Daryl, I'm going to stop watching the show.
Damn, man.
Yeah. Like, that, he's a cool-ass character. Like, I don't see why they would kill him off. I could see why they would kill Glenn off.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think that would be the easy cop-out way. You know, nobody's going to get mad at the Walking Dead TV show if they follow the comic books. But there's been a lot of times that they kind of, you know, skewed in a different direction from the comic books. Not every single thing is exactly alike. I mean, Daryl, he's not even in the comic books. He's a character that's just on the TV show. He's not even in the comics. So there's a lot of things that differ between both. Alana just got into the comic books just recently because she's been a TV show fan. And we were at the library the other day and they had like a trade paperback of like the first 30, you know, comic book, you know, whatever issues.
Massive trade paperbacks.
Yeah. So she started reading it and she's like, oh, man, this is really good. And I'm like, yeah, they say the comic books are very good. They're very graphic, show a lot of drama, and show a lot of story elements. So she's really digging the comic book right now.
I'm good. Yeah, I mean, the comic book, I've been trying to get into it, but I don't know. I think I'll stick to the show.
Yeah, I think most people will. They don't really care for comics. I'm a comic book geek myself, and I read quite a few of The Walking Dead. But yeah.
Speaking of comic books, man, I'm really disappointed that I'm not going to be able to go to Comic-Con next week.
Yeah, I know. It's coming up, man.
Yeah. But next year, there's always next year.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. This year just snuck up on me. I haven't really been paying attention to it.
Yeah, no, it's always something that I like to try to keep an eye on, see if I see a good deal and get a good ticket. But no, I guess all three of us, it doesn't look like we're going. But tune in next week to find out if we do. Thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in those questions and suggestions to things that you want us to talk about, opinions that you have to the show that we just spoke about, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Visit our friends at 1893 Coalition, having some great stuff, intellectual nonsense, and the Enthusiast Project. But also visit our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all of our links, all of our episodes. Subscribe and hit that like button, whatever service that you're using. If you're using iTunes, using Stitcher, Spreaker, please hit that like button and subscribe. It really helps out our numbers. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel.
This is Noel.
Hot Andy.
Yes, it's a little warm today. Go outside. Enjoy that weather, people. We will see you all next week. Thank you for listening.
Cool, Dad.